Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the daily podcast where we read a page about the wise man's fear, and then we dissect it in minute detail. This is chapter 34, Baubles. There was no note for me from Denna when I returned to Anchors that night, nor was there one waiting in the morning. I wondered if the boy had ever found her with my message, or if he had simply given up or dropped it in the river or eaten it. The next morning, I decided my mood was too good to spoil it with the inevitable madness of Elidan's class, so I shouldered my loot and headed over the river to look for Denna. It had taken longer than I had planned, but I was eager to see the look on her face when I finally returned her ring. I walked into the jeweler's and smiled at the small man standing behind a low display case. "Are you finished with the ring?" His forehead creased. I beg your pardon, sir." I sighed and dug around in my pocket, eventually producing the slip of paper. He peered at it, then his face lit with understanding. "Oh, yes, of course. Just a moment." He made his way through a door into the back of the shop. I relaxed a bit. This was the third shop I'd visited. The other conversations hadn't worked out nearly this well. The tiny man bustled out of the back room. "Here we are, sir." He held up the ring. "Bright as rain again. Lovely stone, too, if you don't mind my saying." I held it to the light. It was Denna's ring. "You do good work," I said. He smiled at this. "Thank you, sir. All told, the work came to 45 pennies. I gave a small, silent sigh. It had been too much to hope that Ambrose had paid for the work in advance. I juggled numbers in my head and counted a... end of the page. My name's Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
I like this bit of bursting into a room and saying something and being wrong. That's a joke that it will be evergreen for me. Like in Community, when Frankie's in an interview and they burst in and go, "Don't hire this woman!" And then Abbott's like, "Yeah, this is the third office we've barged into," shouting, "Don't hire this woman!" Which is a great joke. But it makes sense, right? Because I think if you came in to a jeweler store and said, "I have this claim slip, what do I get with it?" You have to act like you're the one who generated the claim slip by leaving the thing there and hope that they don't remember who actually left the jewel off.
Yeah, for sure. And it is kind of weird that he doesn't remember who brought it. Although I wonder if that means that Ambrose sent a servant to do it rather than doing it himself.
Could be. I mean, this rings true to me. I used to work at a store where people would drop off their boots for repair. And I don't know who came in to drop off their boots. Like, if they came in and said, "Hey, my boots are here. Here's the claim number." I'm just going to match the claim number.
Mm. Well, there you go. A chilling vision of the world of customer service.
Yeah, I think it really depends on how many customers these sorts of stores have. Because if they only have a couple of, like, very loyal customers, then yeah, they're going to remember their faces.
And if he's the only employee.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's sort of implicit to me that in this setting, these are all small businesses, right? And so it's probably like him and like, maybe he's the only person who runs the store. He's the sole owner and proprietor. Whereas you worked for like a chain of stores where you didn't have any real stake in it. And you were one of probably a dozen employees who work there. So there's like, you wouldn't know every customer who came in because you're not working there all the time.
And also, just to put this to bed, the guy's face creases with confusion. He doesn't recognize Quoth, but Quoth walks in saying, you know, referring to the ring, he has the claim slip. So the guy is probably just going, "Oh, I guess I just forgot who brought him in. Like, I thought I didn't recognize him, but I must have spoken to him because he's got the claim slip. And he knows it's a ring." So,
which just shows you that the most important part of pulling off any kind of con is confidence. Like, not just that you are taking someone into your confidence, but that you're confident enough to, like, just bullshit your way through a conversation. Which quote
totally. Is. I have read many times that if you are carrying a ladder, you can get in pretty much anywhere.
Because you look like you belong.
Yeah, if you're carrying in a ladder, people will be like, "Oh, you're definitely here to do some maintenance. I'll help, you know, I'll hold the door for you."
Hondo P.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Next time I feel like going somewhere I'm not supposed to, I'll bring a ladder.
It's also like kind of cute. Quoth is playing hooky. He's getting out of doing the schoolwork that he doesn't find interesting to go and find his sweetie and bring her a nice thing.
Yes. And whom amongst us?
I mean, I'm way too much of a cowardly rule stickler to have ever played hooky in my life, but I would like to. I'd like to be that kind of person.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever played hooky. Or if I did, I probably asked permission, which doesn't really count.
Yeah. This is something that I'm trying to like work on in myself, being more okay with breaking rules that don't actually matter. 45 pennies? We'll get to that a little more on the next page, but like he's using a different currency than Quoth is, so Quoth has to convert it.
Indeed.
And aren't pennies in the same as talents? Pennies are in the same. I don't remember. It's just too much.
Maybe they're not, but they're certain. But Quoth is not carrying the right denomination of currency because he has to convert it to something else.
Well, he has to like break a talent, right? I don't think talents break easily into pennies. Or at least not to me. This is one of those things I offload on the character. This is one of those things where I'm like, look, if you do the conversion, you say it's right, I'm going to believe you because I don't have the energy to follow
Nick,
along.
That is the right attitude, and I encourage you to apply it to more sections of this book. Yeah, that's all I got on this page.
Yeah, I don't really have much on this page.
All right, well, let's call this a quick one.
Oh, wait. I do have something. I just wanted to go over the stone really quickly because it's not a stone that I recognize from the real world.
It's a moonstone.
It's smokestone. He calls it blue smokestone.
That's on the previous page, but...
What is it?
Well, let me see here. Your pardon? Yeah, I mean, they listed as smokestone on the previous page, but here, let's...
Oh, I see.
That's okay. We can still talk about smokestone. I think it's been established that it's a moonstone, the ring, but let me see if it's a real thing. It looks like... Smokestone is actually not real in the real world. It might just be a way of referring to another type of thing. Let me see here. Yeah, I think smokestone is just a way of describing the way a stone looks, but it's not a particular kind of stone. Blue smokestone. Well, yep. Nope. The only thing I'm finding when smokestone is hash pipes carved from stone. So.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so
maybe Denna's ring doubles as a device for getting baked.
Probably, yeah. Denna posts to archeries
all the time.
Yeah.
She posts a lot to Whoa Dude.
Yeah, that's why she's never around. She's posting. She's
she's terminally online.
Yeah. She's hitting the pipe and then posting about it. Hmm.
Man, I would never want to get high and then go on Reddit. What a terrible way to spend my high.
I know, right? Get high and then consume content.
Anyway, listeners, you can get high and listen to our podcast.
Yeah, I was going to do a bit of housekeeping and say, hey, we're out of letters, so why don't you send us a letter and join the conversation? But if the conversation is just about whether or not smokestone is a stone you smoke out of, maybe you just don't bother.
Yeah, you can join the conversation tomorrow when we talk about something interesting.
Another page.
Guaranteed of the win.
Win.